Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dykewood Mills. Dykewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International denomination with over 3,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and an author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 500 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dykewood Mills. That draws us to you.
Oh, put your hands together for Jesus. Are you excited? Wow, then give the Lord a shout of praise. We are blessed to be here. Amen. We have powerful testimonies. The Bible says they overcame him by the blood and by the word of their testimonies. Amen. We want to hear testimonies of how God has touched and saved lives through the ministry of our prophet. Amen. Oh, are you excited? Put your hands together for powerful testimonies. Our first testimony is from our brother Kirkland Robertson from Guyana, who is also a still photographer. Put your hands together. Tell us, what has God done for you?
I would like to testify how God has miraculously transformed my life from gangsterism. You see, I grew up as a gangster. I started smoking weed in primary school and drinking a lot of alcohol in primary school.
Small boy like you.
Small boy like me. And due to the life that I was living in school, I didn't get the chance to complete school. So I had to leave to go to the interior, which is in the gold bush that you mine gold. And whilst I was in there, I continued to smoke more bad, to drink more bad, and also sleep with prostitutes. I could recall one time, me and one of my friends, we were racing to see who will sleep with the most prostitutes in 1 month.
Shout, yeah!
And at the end of the month, I was able to sleep with 40 prostitutes.
40?
40.
40.
40. 40 in
my
1 month.
Goodness.
But my friend, he was able to sleep with 50 prostitutes. And I feel like even my mom, my family, they were just giving up on me. And I started getting like more bad. I became a pimp. Because
you became a pimp. What's a pimp?
A pimp is someone that has prostitutes working for him.
Hey.
So prostitutes was working under me. And the main reason why I went to get prostitutes to work for me is because I like sleeping with prostitutes. And when I am pimping them, I don't have to pay them. I will sleep with them, cry.
A workman is worthy of his hire, but anyway.
Yes. So, while I was like pimping them and these things, at a point of time, I start getting malaria like, one time I get malaria like 15 times in 1 month. Mm. And I know that it's not
You'll
good for
malaria.
My health at all. So, even while I was a pimp, I start selling coke, marijuana.
So how did you experience a great change?
Well, I was like a little low down in my life and I went back to my hometown. When I go back to my hometown, I saw a very beautiful young lady by the name of Cherise Easton. And she come to witness to me and tell me about Christ. Even though she was talking, I didn't even listen a word that she said. But I say it within myself that I will follow her. If I follow her, I could get close to her and get the opportunity to sleep with her. So
that's why you were following her to church.
Yes. So
if you have such intention, may the Lord purify you. Amen.
So when I reached the church, there was a lady pastor that preaching. And the message that she preached the first day I got to the church is all about fornication.
Wow.
And the message was very frightening, scary. And I decided to, at the end of the service, I decided to go. And when she made the altar call, I decided to go and give my life to Christ. And like my plans, my aim, my vision that I go to church for, it just changed. I become stable in the church. And then even when I become stable, I was still struggling with smoking. I was very addicted to smoking. And then my lady pastor, I told my lady pastor, she said that it will take some time. So even if you smoke a lot this week, try to cut it down like 2 times a week.
Okay.
And then the next week, go 1 time a week. And okay. Then the other week, just go once.
Oh, I thought you
and
put
I
your hands together.
It didn't work for me.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And what happened?
And I did it, and it really worked for me. So I went and testified that I have overcome smoking. And through my testimony, the desire for smoking has just gone.
That's why the Bible says they overcome him by their word, the word of their testimony. Amen. Whatever is happening in your life, by your testimony, you are going to overcome the devil. If you believe it, shout a big amen. Hallelujah.
And right now, by the grace of God, I'm in the prestigious Anakaza Bible School being trained. Oh,
Jesus. I thought you would stand to your feet and clap for Jesus, the saving power of the blood of Jesus. Pure salvation. Shout.
So,
hallelujah.
So I just want to thank God, and also I just want to thank our prophet for sending missionaries all the way to Guyana so that somebody like me could be changed. And to everybody that is listening out there, no matter your problem, your situation, your difficulties that you are going through in life, nothing is too difficult for Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Just come to Jesus and receive him.
Hallelujah.
And he will take care of you and your problem.
Hallelujah. Wow, so you are becoming a pastor.
Yes, please.
By the grace of God.
Please. I'm
God is going to use you to save many people.
Amen.
Wow,
amen.
Why don't you put your hands together for powerful testimonies. Hallelujah. Our next testimony is from my brother Calvin Ray, all the way from Trinidad. Oh, do it better for him. Hallelujah. Calvin, what has God done for you?
I would like to testify about how God has used the ministry of the prophet to change my life from gangsterism. When I was 5 years old, my dad was arrested for there was a police raid in the area that we grew up. And my dad was a carpenter, but after work, he used to associate himself with people who used to deal with large quantities of marijuana and different drugs, guns, and all those stuff. So when there was a police raid, he was arrested, and we had a lawyer, and they gave him an option that either he would serve more time in prison or he has to leave the country permanently. So currently he lives in Brazil.
So they gave him two options.
Two options.
To be in prison or to leave the country.
Yeah.
Okay.
So after my mom heard about it, she moved us out of the area because of the situation that was happening. And she just wanted us to have a different life, a fresh start, me and my two younger siblings.
So your dad moved out of the country.
Yes.
So where is he now?
He's in Brazil.
Okay.
Yeah. So after I entered secondary school, my life, I realized that I started living that same lifestyle my dad was living. I started a gang with two other guys, and we grew the gang. It was almost 50 or 60 of guys in it. And then we started gang-related activities, and we started, there was some deaths involved.
There was what?
Some people died.
Okay.
There was a lot of bloodshed. At that time, I started going to church. Lighthouse Chapel International. So every Sunday, I used to desire just to be in church because it was just a different atmosphere. It was something different from what I was experiencing during the other six days of the week. So as I continued to go, I desired for a change. I wanted a change. I just didn't know how I would get out of this lifestyle because I was so deep. My parents knew me as a Christian because my mom, she used to work two jobs. So she was never really home with us. So she knew that, okay, my son is going to church, but Monday to Saturday, I'm in a different area doing God knows what.
Hey! Okay, what happened?
I think I was 15 or 14 years old when the prophet came to Trinidad. I think it was a conference or a
camp.
I don't know what it was. I just went for it. My pastor told me I should go. And while the prophet was preaching, I didn't hear anything that he was saying. The only thing that I was hearing in my mind is that this man is different. He's just different. He's strange. That's the only thought that was passing through my mind.
Wow, sometimes when the power is strong, you don't even have to understand the message. The power is so strong and it has the potential to change you. Amen.
Yeah.
As you expose yourself.
After the prophet finished preaching, he was shaking everyone's hand who was coming forward. And I just decided that, look, I'm just going forward to just see who this person really is. And I went forward, then he shook my hands, and I turned and walked away.
Made contact with the prophet.
Yes.
My goodness. Then, I pray for you that may God give you the privilege to make contact with the prophet of God. Receive it if you believe it.
Then, when I turned and I walked away, I wasn't so familiar with the Holy Spirit and those things.
You will not be familiar because... Yes. Okay.
But I thought it was I thought it was my own thought or something. I heard a, like, I had a thought or maybe a voice said that the next time you reach him, meet the prophet, you'll be a pastor.
The thought came to your mind. That's the next time you meet him.
The next time you meet him,
you'll be a pastor.
You'll be a pastor.
Wow.
And I just shook the thought off because in my mind, I don't think I would have lived to reach 18 years old. So I was like, you know, I don't think this is really for me. I think it was just a thought or something. But now I find myself in the prestigious...
You are in the prestigious Anakazo Bible School. I'm becoming a pastor.
Yeah.
Oh, the Bible says that as we behold us in the glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image. As you encounter the prophet of God, you will be changed into the image that God has originally destined for you. Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. So you are in Anakazo. When are you finishing school?
I'm finishing school next year.
Next year.
December.
You are ready to become a pastor.
Yes.
To be sent.
Yes.
Wow. Put your hands together for our brother. Amen. God bless you. Our next testimony is from our brother, Dinsan, from Ghana. Oh, put your hands together. I think you can do better. The louder your clap, the louder your testimony. Hallelujah. Dinsan, tell us, what has God done for you?
Amen. I want to thank God. Amen. I want to thank God for... I want to share a testimony about a great change.
That's why you're here. Share it.
It all started right here in Ghana. You know, my daddy was a diplomat, so most of the time we would not be home. But then it was not long and we went to Cuba, Havana. So at the age of 7 years, I was smoking cigarettes. And at the age of 8, I started smoking tobacco. Then at around that eight years, I started smoking... So much, you know, but unfortunately my mom and daddy didn't even know about that habit because it was a master bedroom. So I would smoke and bath, freshen up, come to them. They would never know that I was involved in that.
Okay.
By the age of 8, I was also drinking alcohol, gin. I could drink like half the bottle of dry gin, you know. Then sometimes I would just even collapse.
You collapse after drinking half of... That bought you definitely collapse.
But then at the age of 8, daddy died and we came to Ghana.
Okay.
So when we came to Ghana, it didn't stop. That's when at the age of 9, I started watching pornography. Sometimes,
at the age of 9 years?
Yes, I was watching pornography.
Wow.
Then sometimes my brothers would bring their girls, would go and peep, see live sex at the age of 9.
Who will call you?
No, like there's a room that has been partitioned by wood, but there's a deck that you can just peep through. And
you were peeping to watch live pornography.
Live sex.
You're not satisfied with the one
pornography.
Video.
I was now watching the live one. So at the age of 14,
shout mercy.
Then at the age of 14, he entered into masturbation. Then at the age of 15, I got admission to Arisada College.
Because the Bible says that whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. You know, so he kept on moving. From masturbation to pornography, but still he was not satisfied. And what happened?
Then at the age of 15, again admission into Adisado College. When I was going, most of the people in the neighborhood were very, very disturbed for me because they had known a little things that I was doing. You know,
so they knew that was
the end of my life because I'll be engaged.
And there's some Santa Clausians here. Shout, Iye!
So in Adisado, I was listening to rap music, so. Sometimes I'll go to fancy man girls to go and perform.
Hey, you know, Rafa so. Shaka. Okay.
So, God being so good, there was this guy who had made attempts of talking to me about Jesus, but it didn't avail too much. But then this guy embarked on a 9-day fasting, especially for me to repent. And on the 9th day, I was just feeling cold at prayer. And I asked somebody whether they were feeling same. They said no. So, I just went to a room and he was there with one of the... assist for me. So I just went there and I just put my head on the table. I slept and I found myself in hell, burning. So when I just woke up, I asked them how I can escape from hell. Then they showed
how
me
shall
that.
We escape?
Then they showed me that I should give my life to Christ. So miraculously, I gave my life to Christ. You know, I did my last performance in called Black Santa in Adisado College. You know, so many people came around. But in the evening, I openly gave my life to Christ. People would dare me and say, Thomas, we give you only a week or two. You backslide, you come back to the world.
But by the but grace of God, you are still standing God, here.
You know, doing school, I completed school. I finished, like, completed school. But then, by the message of God, I stopped the masturbation, the drinking, the smoking, all those things stopped.
What happened?
But then, unfortunately, after school, you know, I was at UPSC and I backslid back. So I just, I backslid, stopped worshiping God. I just wanted money now because I felt like, why should I go to school? I was doing SEMA. Then I checked out and I realized, $38,000 was what I would get a year. And I said, when I put this in together, I can't buy my dream car, so let me just stop and do something quicker. So I was into repairing of computers. Sometimes people bring their laptops and things. I sell them. I use the money. It got so bad that even my family, like my niece and nephew, they have a nice computer. When it gets poor, they were afraid to bring it to their uncle because they knew that their uncle would just sell it was very, very sad.
You know what happened?
But then I had this girl who started taking me to church. It was not the Lighthouse Church. Started sending me to church once. You know, sometimes I follow her, sometimes I don't. But then at a point, I asked her to follow me to Hohoe.
To go and do what?
Yeah, we just wanted to go and spend a week and come back.
To go and spend a week or to blow time.
To go and blow time, actually.
So say it clearly. Okay.
So when I went with her, my cousin invited me. I think went on a Friday or so, Saturday. My cousin invited me to a church. But prior to that, after school, I was just having this conviction that I should join a Lighthouse Church because I watch these miracle days I hear. Sometimes I watch the Columbia Crusades on TV. Wow. So I was just having like, this man, he preaches salvation. He doesn't preach like this type of prosperity kind of a thing. Wow. You know, salvation, I became born again because of a heaven and hell message. So when I honored the invitation, this gentleman just told me that I should come and I'll be blessed in church. And when I went, Bishop Richard Jamna preached powerfully about heaven and hell.
Wow.
So on that day, I gave my life to Christ.
Wow.
And I told God that I'm so sorry for all the bad things that I've done.
Wow.
You should give me a second chance to serve him. Then I told him that this is the thing I can do. I know a little about computers, so I can be editing the messages for him. He said, why not? So at a point, he told me that I told him that I want to be the janitor for the church. He said, no problem. He's even been struggling with the security people, so why not?
Wow.
So I started sleeping in the church.
Why did you become a janitor? Why?
Yeah, I became a janitor because, you know, I had a girlfriend. Occasionally, she would come. When she comes around, you know, it was sex. And then the temptation of coming back to Accra and continue.
So you didn't want to have a home?
I didn't want to have a home. I can
you don't have any place to.
So I just told her that you should stay in Accra because...
Oh, put your hands together if you are clapping. Clap.
Okay. So I started sleeping in the church, record the messages, do editing. And because I was editing, I have to play back. Then I had the opportunity of hearing it more over and over again.
Wow.
Then finally, I broke up with this lady, started becoming more serious. Then I was exposed to the Makane. So when I heard the Makane, I said, this is what I've always been. Like, that hunger was me. Because my life is like, I'm a little bit suicidal. Like, I'm when I was not born again, I could get angry at my customers and even report, send myself to the police station. Because when I get angry, sometimes I can, anything I pick, I can stab you or anything.
Hey, yes. Are we safe here?
Yes. So when I heard the Makane and I heard about all out,
you kept listening and listening.
I kept listening. I said, then this is like my home. This, when I stay more in church, I can become useful. Instead of dying a useful death, my life can be a little bit far more better than what I was doing. So I continued, and by the grace of God, today I find myself in a prestigious and
Put your hands together for Jesus. I thought you would stand to your feet and give glory to Jesus for a great change. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And through the power of hearing, this young man is changed forever through the power in the messages. God bless you. What do you have to tell? Yeah. If somebody's first time, what you have to say?
What I would say is that the messages that we hear here are the best. Because if you really listen to my testimony, I would have been dead by now. Because if I come back to Accra, because I was into... There are a lot of things that I've done. I can't say it on the microphone. I was very, very tough. You can see me slim, but very,
don't
very
mind
tough.
The body.
Yeah, messy. But the messages that can save you, no matter how difficult you are, no matter how troublesome you are, and no matter how heartbroken you are, the messages are here to change you and make your life better.
Put your hands together for our brother this side. God bless you. Our next testimony is from our brother Watson, all the way from Zimbabwe. Oh, put your hands together for him as he comes. You can do it better. Watson, what has God done for you?
Well, I want to thank God for how he has changed my life. I grew up in village. 70% of my life, I think, I was in village. Then from there, I thought to seek for greener pastures. So I decided to go to Bulawayo. Bulawayo is a city. It's a city in Zimbabwe. So upon arrival in Bulawayo, I got so exposed to this stunning land.
Got exposed to what?
To this beautiful city.
Okay.
Yes, because I was a village boy. I was from village. So then, enticed with beautiful girls in the city. You know, when in the village, there were no beautiful girls like the girls that were in the city. So then,
mercy.
So then I got so deep in them.
As people are seeking for greener pastures, for money, you were amazed and by the ladies, the beautiful girls.
I was so amazed there, you know.
Mercy.
So
what happened?
I remember one time I did what you call pimping.
What's pimping? Okay.
Yes. Pimping is whereby a man controls prostitutes.
Okay.
And take a percentage of their earnings. But in my case, I was sleeping with them. In other words, taking the percentage of their earning was to sleep with them.
So that's how you were paying them?
Yes.
By sleeping with them?
Yes, that's how I was paying them. Do you understand? So then, from there, I became a rapper. I
was became what?
A rapper, a music rapper.
Okay.
Yes. I was a rapper by then. So I had a friend.
Okay.
This friend was a colored. And his parents were in UK.
Oh, is that you?
Yes, that's
wow.
me.
Wow.
That's me.
Breaking it down.
Okay. So this friend, they were living in a 12-roomed house.
Okay.
And the parents...
12-bedroom.
Yes. No, like 12-roomed, but there was, I think, 5 bedrooms in the
okay.
house. So their parents were in UK.
Okay.
So by so doing, we would go for a contesting, rap contest in the streets. This is Friday. Friday, we will get money. And after getting money, we'll hire maybe 2 or 3 cars. We'll put the girls in the car. Then we'll take them to the house.
The 5-bedroom house.
Yes, the 5-bedroom house. So we'll have party with them all over the night. So maybe during the night, depending on how high I was, maybe I'll take 2 or 3 girls and put them in the bedroom and I have sex with them at a time.
At the same time?
At the same time.
How?
Everybody like. Okay.
All right. Please, continue.
I mean, this
shout, yeah! Yeah!
I think this was the highest kind of wickedness. Why am I saying so? Because if one of them has disease,
if what?
One of them has a disease,
okay.
Automatically all of them will have
what? Spreading it.
But I mean, I'll make sure that I'm protected.
Okay.
Yes. Then a time came, I was from the beer garden one other time. I was so drunk. I was almost killed. What happened is I snatched one of the soldier's girlfriend.
You stepped on the wrong toes.
Yeah. I snatched her. She was very beautiful. And hey. I don't know, but then...
You are very... you move with the beauty bar.
But then I didn't have money. But worldly girls, they used to like me because I was a rapper.
Okay.
You know.
And what happened?
I had so much swag. So then from... So from,
yeah! Yeah!
From the beer garden that night, what happened? I saw myself on the floor.
You saw yourself on the floor?
Yes, on the ground in the street. So this soldier, he hired this ghetto tycoons to come and beat
kill
me
you.
And kill me.
Okay.
But I don't know how I was able to see. My eyes were able to open. I could see. I was able to see a knife. He wanted to stab at this position, but I was able to block. That's how I got this scar.
Wow.
I was able to block the knife. That day I could have died, but I screamed. Then, to God be the glory. People in the houses, they ran out and they saved me.
Wow.
And these people, they ran out. Then I was taken to the hospital. Then a great change came. It was 2012. This girl, she came to me. I was standing on my workplace. I was
another girl again.
Yes, I was in Bulawayo.
Okay.
This is my soul winner.
Okay.
I was standing at my workplace. It was around 5 p.m. Saturday. Then I was so high. I think that time I was just from the backyard of the shop,
okay.
smoking weed. So then she came to me. She asked, do you know Jesus? I said, no, I don't know Jesus. They said, okay, I want you to give your life to Christ. So as she was standing in front of me, I could see as if there are 2 or 3 people.
Why?
When you smoke. when you smoke.
But we are not high by weed. We are high by the Holy Ghost. Ah, if you believe it, shout amen.
When you smoke,
my goodness.
Hallucination. It makes you see things that are not real. Wow. So by then I was able to give
but
my
now life. It's clear now.
It's clear.
Okay.
That day, so Sunday, I find myself in church.
Okay.
Church? A lighthouse. Okay. It was just, I think, a month after Daddy sent Apostle Kingsley to start a branch in Bulawayo.
Oh, put your hands together. The planting of churches. Hallelujah.
When I joined this church, Lighthouse, there were six people.
How many people?
There were six
people.
And I was the seventh person.
Six people is a church. Oh, sometimes it's very discouraging. As you get up, you are going to preach to five people. But I tell you, God can still save whether it's five, whether it's four, even if it is three. Oh, Jesus. Thank you so much.
So I was the seventh person. Then my
you were the seventh person?
Yes. So okay. My soul winner, she was the prayer shepherd by then.
Wow.
Then she asked me that whenever she's leading prayer, I should take a book, a pen and a paper. Whenever she read a scripture, I should write it down and keep it and just stay like that. So it happened for almost 2 months. I was watching her as she was leading prayer. Then after 2 months, then she came to me and said, I think you can lead prayer. He said,
no. I think you can.
No, I can't. He said, no, you can. Then my pastor asked me, said, oh, you can. Then that day, it wasn't easy for me.
It will not be
I will lead, I'll take my paper and I'll read the scripture and I'll read it. I'll copy and see and read in the Bible. And gradually, the scriptures stick in me. They got stuck in me.
Hallelujah.
To the point that my pastor said, no, now you are a prayer shepherd. So it happened for some time. That was 2012. Then I became a shepherd. I became an usher. I could come to church, decorating the church, sweeping the church, and all that. So where I was staying, it was very far. Sometimes I didn't have transport money. So I would just take my Bible and put it on the carrier of my bicycle. It was a 1 hour cycling way. I would just ride my bicycle going to church. Wow. My Bible is on the carrier. But along the way, you know, I struggled to leave smoking. So I would buy maybe two or three cigarettes. Along the way, I would smoke.
And I would say, hey, you didn't know how you struggled before you are finally here.
When I arrived in the church, I'm smelling cigarette.
Okay.
But I'll lead prayer.
Wow.
But through that faithfulness, just being in church,
gradually.
The smoking
Do it better.
The smoking dries
Hallelujah.
Up. The smoking dries
Hallelujah.
Up. The smoking dries up. Then my pastor, because the distance was far,
transformation was taking place.
Yes, transformation was taking place. Then my pastor, he saw that, no, where I'm coming from is very far. And sometimes if I don't have money, I might easily be hit with a car along the way on the bicycle. Then he decided to stay with me. He said, come, let's stay. Where you were staying, that's where the church was. It was like, it was a flat where the church was. Few people. So we stayed together. One time he introduced me to the art of soaking messages. Then I was in the house. Then I saw a video message where called Loyalty and Disloyalty.
Okay.
Daddy was preaching in Koligono. I think that was the first day, if I'm not mistaken. As I was watching this video, I don't know, something happened. I had a conviction, kind of like a voice saying to me,
Hallelujah.
Come to Bible school.
Because the Bible says that as you keep your eyes on your teachers, you will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. I see God speaking to you as you stay focused on your teachers. Hallelujah.
So I told my pastor, I don't know, Daddy, what happened. This is what it happened. Then he said, I think you are called.
Wow.
You must go to Bible school.
Wow.
So that was 2013.
2013.
13. When that happened. So I wanted to come 2014 with my two senior brothers who are now pastors in First Love in Mutare, Bulawayo, Trust and Habit. Yes. So I stayed because I didn't have a passport. I didn't have my basic all levels.
Okay.
Then I worked on it 2014. 2015, by the grace of God, I found myself in the prestigious Anakazo.
Only the power of God can do this.
Amen.
Are you sitting down like that? Give the Lord a shout of praise.
Amen.
What a blessing.
Amen.
So what do you have to tell us?
So I want to say, maybe you are here, maybe you are watching, you have joined, maybe you have joined a bus center, you find out that there are two or three people. The Bible says that when two or three are gathered in my name,
hallelujah,
there am I in their midst.
Hallelujah.
Believe that God is there and just hallelujah. Be faithful. Even when you are here in church, just be faithful, join the ushering, join the dancing stars. These ministries, they will help you. The things that you are struggling with, they will dry off. And I also want to thank Daddy for the
hallelujah.
Opportunity
I think it's
to
a good
read
place
the Bible
to stand
school,
on our feet and put our hands together.
Thank you very
for our prophet for being staying committed. God bless you. Powerful testimonies. Amen.
You are sitting down for the best part. Amen. I believe we're having a blessed time, and it's my pleasure to announce to you that we have our prophet in the house. In First Kings chapter 3, Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not a prophet in Israel for us to hear from today?" And I'm glad that this week there's a prophet here. He was with the rest of the team, many of whom are some of our pastors here at First Love, in Edra, in Kwame Danso, in Tatale, in Kwasa, and in Kpandai. But I'm so excited that today he's back home. Daddy, we missed you so much. We notice your absence when you're not here. And we are glad that today we can have a wonderful church service with our Father. From many nations, from many tribes, many tongues, we are all brought here by the grace of God under the anointing of our Father the Prophet. If you feel as excited and expectant as I am, give the Lord a shout. That's not a First Love shout.
Nothing is impossible.
That's not a First Love shout. Give the Lord a shout.
Father, thank you for today. Thank you for blessing us with this time of fellowship. Guide us mightily by your mighty Spirit. Fulfill all things, O Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be here today? Wonderful. Today, we bring you greetings from Tatale, greetings from Ejura, greetings from Pasa, and greetings from Pandai, and greetings from Kwame Danso. There are a lot of people there, and they send their love to you. Hallelujah. And we have churches in all these places, missionaries, church buildings, and so on. So we thank the Lord for what he is doing. Amen. Today I want to preach and share with you about the spirit of faith. Now, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So, one of the blessings of hearing and seeing is faith. So you have faith, you get faith by hearing. All right? Now, hearing is something I've been sharing with you about. And I've been encouraging you to hear I don't want to have church members who are not hearing things. And hearing depends on you. It's like eating. When you grow up spiritually, you must go and take messages to listen to. You must go and find what you want. Just like after church, some of you go and find Kili Willy. Some of you go and find kebab. Some of you go and find rice or whatever. So you actually go and get things to eat. In the same way, spiritually, you must search for things. And you hear the testimony about the makane. The makane is a special collection which we have in our church. And you must learn how to have the makane. So we have free downloads, isn't it? We have a downloading ministry. We have a ministry called Downloading Ministry. If it doesn't exist, I'm forming it now. And we download for you the makane and different things. You must have collections of food. It's like having a home with a storeroom that you can pull in some food, any type of food. You know, years ago when I visited my wife, she was not my wife, she was my beloved. I flew on an Air Force jet from Accra to Takoradi to go and visit her. They were surprised to see us, and she organized food for unexpected arrivals. You see, all these are keys. You get it? They're keys to moving forward. Or you don't understand the message I'm preaching. So when you are a woman and you cannot organize something, and Nutra said there is some deficiency somewhere. It's like two boys in the house. You get what I'm saying? All of them cannot do much. All right? Okay, why don't you move these flags a little back? Because these people can't see me. And I want them to see me. Just move it back. All right. I see you. I see you better. Okay. So you see, they were not happy, but they were not saying it. So as a leader, you must know those who are not happy around you. You don't have to say it before. So, you must be able to organize food, and in the same way, you must be able to search for different kinds of messages to listen to and to soak in repeatedly. And you see, you must listen to preaching repeatedly, the same message. You have to know how to listen to the same thing. Once it blesses you, learn how to listen to one message 20 times until you virtually know the whole message and check it from the Bible yourself to see whether what is being said is true, and then underline scriptures in your Bible or your iPad so that those scriptures are what God is implanting in you for that particular season. You know, the Holy Spirit has been sent to help us in our lives. And do you know where the Holy Spirit is? The Holy Spirit is in people. So God uses people to speak to you. And the Holy Spirit helps you through people. So sometimes when God wants to help you in your life, He will speak through someone who has the Holy Spirit. And it blesses you. And that is why words from ministers and preachers and the word of God that comes to you, you see that the Holy Spirit is actually helping your life through these words. So it's actually the Holy Spirit trying to come into you. That's what you need to do. So everyone here must be, you must grow. You see, when you listen to the testimonies, you see that the word of God is really powerful in its ability to change people. Because the testimonies we are hearing, honestly, it's the power of God that can change these people. Yeah, I don't know. There's no therapy or rehabilitation or whatever. It's just God's power that goes into our lives and changes us. And you notice that whether there's six people in the church or one person in the church, the word of God is powerful. Very powerful. So Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. You know, so, and hearing. So it's actually telling you that something comes to you. Something comes to you. How many want a good thing to come to you? Even if you don't know what faith is, faith comes to you by hearing. Hallelujah. So the spirit of faith is one of the mighty things of the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Holy Spirit that is coming to you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse number 1. And it says, faith is the substance of things you hope for and the evidence of things you cannot see. So, everything we hope for in this life can become substantial and real through faith. You see, now, if you take the governments of the world. But let's take the government. You realize that all governments, usually if they are wise, have some kind of respect for pastors and prophets. You understand? Why? Is it their education? Is it their money? Is it their wisdom? Most of the time it is not. Most of the time, what has distinguished a person who is a pastor is not his education or his knowledge or his technical know-how, but it's the fact that he has more faith in God. He has some beliefs which you, the ordinary person, seem not to have. You understand? So his faith has made him important. So faith is like a secret weapon which you can have in your hand. And faith is something that will be a secret in your life. A secret in your life, you know, which will distinguish you from others. So faith, whatever it is, don't worry about what it is. Whatever it is, you get it? It's a powerful thing. It's a great thing. Yeah, faith. It's different from education, different from knowledge. It's different from technical know-how. It's different from money. They are all different things. But faith, you see the most uneducated poor person rising out of insignificance and becoming something because of his faith. So faith is a secret that you can hold carefully and use to make substance out of things you are hoping and praying for. Yes. So, like one of the guys was saying, his dreams, dream car, dream house, dream life, dream whatever, those dreams become real, can become real through faith. It doesn't matter what faith is, whatever it is. And faith is something that comes to you by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Whatever it is, it comes as you hear. Yes. It comes. You are not conscious of how it comes. You don't have to do anything to make it come. You tend to have faith as you hear. You just have faith as you hear. And I notice pastors, you know, even I was once in a region in Ghana. I'll not mention the region, but they have a lot of juju in that region. And I noticed, I have not mentioned any region. I don't know what you are shouting about. I noticed that the pastors, you know, many times you meet a committee of pastors and they will describe something and you realize that the pastors have faith in the juju. Because, you know, people have lived there for a long time and they've been doing things and they hear of it. So it's like they tend to grow up, believe, they really believe in the power of it. So if you read Jeremiah to them and say that, oh, this is a tree, it cannot move, it cannot speak, therefore don't believe in it, it cannot do any harm to you. It's not that simple for them because they've heard something else for years. That this thing is powerful, this thing, it will kill you, this thing will do this to you. So they believe in it because they've been hearing it. So faith is not something that comes to you consciously. But by exposing yourself to repeated hearing, especially of the same thing, you start to become a mighty man of faith and a mighty woman of faith. Yeah, and that's what you need to be. The difference between me and many of my lay pastors is my faith. You see, I started as a lay pastor. I have mates. And also people that were lay pastors. We were all lay pastors together. Yes, I was also a lay pastor. When I say lay pastor, I mean, no, I was not in full-time ministry. I was a lay pastor working in the hospital at another time, doing nothing, business, something, you know, but not full-time ministry. And even where I started full-time, what we may call full-time ministry, I didn't have a salary. I was just living off, you know, various arrangements. Church would not pay me. No. The difference is not anything but the extent to which you believe things. The same things that we all read. So faith actually changes everything. It changes everything. And I say to you that for a government, a president, a leader of a country to have respect for priests, it shows you that faith, you get it, can make you very important if you have faith. So all of us, you know, it's almost like we are holding a very special thing, but we are not taking it seriously. We are holding something that has the potential to make us see certain greatness and certain wonderful things, but we don't know how great it is. That's why Peter called it your like precious faith. You know, it's precious. So I need you. Yeah, that's a verse. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle, to them who have obtained like precious faith. Those of us who have obtained like precious faith. Kalomo satala madore mashadalaba. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Are you ready to be a man and a woman and a girl and a child of faith? Now, let us look at all of us children here who were singing, who were dancing, who were acting. Do you think they don't have sexual feelings? Do you think they don't have any need for a boyfriend or a girlfriend or love? Do you think all of us here are asexual amoebas? No! We are not asexual. Science student, or what is an art student will not know what is an amoeba. What is an amoeba? Huh? Unicellular organism. It just has one cell. And it doesn't marry or anything. It just divides and produces. No. How many here have feelings? And the back people don't have feelings. Oh, that side, they don't have feelings. What about on this side? Are there feelings on this side? The back, I don't see feelings at the back. I think there are some angels sitting at the back there. What about this side? Are there? Okay. Hallelujah. So, you are going to become a man and a woman of faith. I want you to take your faith seriously. Because you see, my education, I have it. O level, A level, university. My degree is down. That's not what I'm using. That's not what I'm using. Why did I drive to Tata Lake? By faith, I believe that a soul is a soul and is precious to God. You get it? I believe that he that winneth souls is wise. So I went there based on my faith, not on my money. There's no money guiding me there. So the more faith you have and you use, the more your life will change. Yes, your marriage will change. Yes. Because to be a good woman in your marriage, you need to believe that you have to submit, which is only belief, but not sense. Because you may be wiser than your husband. I've seen many. You don't have to stay around for some time. You see a lot of girls are wise. You may even do better than he does in school. You may even be more spiritual than he is. You have to believe to be able to submit. All these great things that make your life different come by your beliefs. So faith is very important for you. And I believe that God is changing your life by the spirit of faith. Everybody lift your hand and pray for the spirit of faith for a moment. Father, release the spirit of faith to everyone here. In the name of Jesus, release the spirit of faith. In the name of Jesus. Kalo mo shantala babandaraba. Marola ba katalaba da shandele meke baramaba. In Jesus' name. Genesis chapter 18. Now, what faith can do for you? Number one, faith can make you become a young person. Yes. Faith makes you young. Now, is young better than old? Huh? Is young better than old? Are you sure? Why would you say young is better than old? Old are wise, experienced, mature. What does young have? Strength, energy, belief. Young people believe. Young people are able to learn new things. You know, the world is now accepting younger people as presidents. Yeah. Yeah, they are reducing voting to 16 in the UK. And here it's still 18. Young people can do great things. Most of you, if you were even older people, if they were looking for a wife, they would want a young girl. True or not true? Why would they want a young girl? Why would they want a young girl? Energetic. First love marriage. The bed is like a bouncing castle. That's in First Love. I don't know about the other churches. First Love Church. Do you know Bouncing Castle? Yes. Yes. Ka ya mo shatala. You would choose a young person. Why would you choose a young person? Energy. Why wouldn't you choose an old lady who is very spiritual and faithful to God for maybe 40 years? Huh? Set in their ways. Hey. And what else? Energy. Happiness. Happy. You know, younger people are happier. The other day, I was thinking of certain problems that I was solving, you know, for some older people. I was thinking of the things, serious things. Serious. You would choose a young person. And I think God would also choose a young person. Yes. And God reveals himself to young people, to babes and sucklings. He shows himself to babes and sucklings. He has perfected praise. Praise in babes and sucklings. So many of you have to decide to remain perpetually young. Yes. Somebody was asking me, why are the church members in your church young? Faith makes you young. Yes. Faith makes you young, and young makes you nice. Yes. Faith makes you young, and young makes you nice. The more things you believe, the more you will be forced to be young, youngish. Yeah. An elderly person who is married, you just the counseling will be left with only one chapter. You just say key of acceptance, just accept whatever is happening. But the younger ones, you will give other keys and revelations. Say, try this, try this. Tomorrow, use this key. I'm giving you 3 keys. Kamo shataya. All right, Genesis 18 verse 1. Beautiful. The Lord appeared to him in the plains of Mamre as he sat in the tent door. And he lifted up his eyes and looked. And lo, 3 men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away. These 3 men were angels. Let a little water be fetched, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort your hearts. So they said, do as thou hast said. Verse 6. And Abraham hastened to the tent to Sarah and said, come on, organize some food, lady. 3 measures of fine meal. Make some cakes quickly. Now, if you are here, all first love girls, You have to know how to make cakes. Sausage rolls. I need the recipe. Sausage rolls. Cakes. What? Rock bands. Are you writing it? You are not writing it. You see, faith makes you believe a lot of things. Biscuits. Sausage rolls. Huh? Pancakes. Pancakes and banana fritters. Don't mention this church if you can't make these things. When you are married, you say you don't know how to make all these things. Don't mention the church. Yes. Rock bands. How many brothers want to eat some rock bands? Sausage, meat pies. Meat pies. Cupcakes. Why? Because Abraham told Sarah, make some cakes. Muffins. Make it practically. I hope I'm making my message very clear. So first love, ladies, we are going to be visiting you. Just write on the top of your door, First Love House. This is a First Love House. When we come in there, what are we going to get? Rock pans, cakes, sausages, sausage rolls, pancakes, meat pies. Have you written all the things down? These are little tidbits for tea time. First Love Church, we have tea around 4, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. All your village ways are being wiped away and you are learning how to be a city dweller. All right. Are you there? And Abraham ran to the head and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, set it before them. So all young men must know how to season meat. Brothers, are you listening to me? It was a young man who organized the meat. So brothers, don't mention the church if you don't know how to season meat. Don't mention this church. Mention another church. But if you are a First Love brother, know how to season the meat and prepare pure meat. Only meat. Meat. Grilled meat. Braai. Yes. Brothers, are you there? Barbecue. Season the meat. Inject it. Inject the meat. And grill that. We see that you are a young man from this church. While the cupcakes and rock bands are happening there, the meat is coming on this side. You can't just sit down there as if you are a chief from the village. Don't do anything. All right. Sit down. Verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, she is in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old. Abraham and Sarah were what? Old. And well stricken in age, like age had whipped them. You'll never be stricken by age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. That means that she was no more. Only one of the things, her period was had stopped. But apart from that, her attitude had also changed. Let me explain something. You know, have you heard of premenstrual syndrome? Yes. What is premenstrual syndrome? It's a syndrome where before the menses, the period, the hormones rise. Isn't it so? Progesterone, it rises and then it drops. And that rise, the change in the hormones, produces a change in the person, preparing the womb to bleed. You get it? And then the womb bleeds when there's no child. It bleeds. But it goes along with other changes in the body and other changes in the mind. Now, our students will listen very carefully. Huh? Pay attention. I'm going slowly. So as the change, so the cycle goes like that. It goes, it keeps going. Every month it goes up, down, up, down. So when the change goes to a certain point, then the attitude each woman has a different way of responding. Some become even violent. In fact, some people have even used it in their defense when they murdered someone. That they were having premenstrual syndrome. That is why they killed the person. Yes, I'm telling you. Medical facts. I'm not saying that it was a successful defense, but it was something that they brought up. That I was having this at this time. Yes. So you may see that the behavior, the talking, the attitude, sometimes they become depressed, angry, accusative, easily angry, quiet, different things. Depending on, and some have no reaction at all. They just keep, it goes smoothly. Every man, there is no change. They're just as sweet as ever. Kemo Shatila Baba. Tell your neighbor, I'll be as sweet as ever. I'll be as sweet as ever. Now, when it ceases to be after the order of a normal, like you finish that season, by a certain age, it stops. The hormones also change. These two hormones, estrogen and progesterone, they are what causes all these changes. Huh? It's their fault. It's their fault. You see, somebody is blaming the hormones. Bring me some water, please. Bring me some water. You know, you are blaming the hormones. They are blaming the hormones, that is the hormone that is causing the problem. So when the hormones change, then the attitude changes. So that's why you see that a younger person has seemed to have a flowing attitude. And an older person seems to have, you can almost see, and some people even have the older attitude at a young age. It's like very early, you know, it's like, no nonsense around me, please. Kamo Sheta Balaba. What I'm saying is not real, right? That like this type of preaching is not, you don't really understand it, isn't it? Tell your neighbor, hypocrite, you don't understand this simple preaching. You are looking as though you don't understand it. Now, Sarah, are you listening? Sarah has all the problems I'm describing times 100. So, when she heard it, she mentioned some things that she was not used to anymore. She said in verse 12, Sarah laughed. So that is, you see, first of all, a mockery towards certain things. That is why an older woman may be able to tell her husband, do you think I'm a prostitute? But a younger person will say, of course. If the husband says, jump to the sky or whatever, they say, oh, why not? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Kama super! First Love Church is like what? A bouncing castle. So Sarah did what? She laughed. I mean, the whole idea was, I mean, so stupid. What, me? At this time, I should do open and close. Are you out of your mind? I mean, when the three pastors were there talking, she was just laughing. She was saying to herself, people have taken spirituality to the nonsense degree. Now, spirituality has made people mad. She laughed. Then number two, she said, after I am wax old, shall I have pleasure? So first of all, you see a despising, mocking attitude. You never have that attitude in Jesus' name. And then she said, shall I have pleasure? Now, pleasure includes going for holidays. She was not interested in going anywhere. Go out for dinner. Or let's go somewhere. and do somewhere. Let's swim. No, 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 no. I'm not into suspense. Let's go and climb a mountain. No climbing of mountains. The hormones have changed her attitude. Don't only think about sex. She said, shall I have pleasure? What are you talking about? Yes, pleasure. At this stage, I'm sitting here waiting to die. I'm waiting to die. You say, I should have pleasure. Go and find a small girl. I'm not one of those small girls. How many are? Okay, you listen. Are you listening to the message? You see, all of you, you don't know. You look, it seems you, what I'm preaching about being a young person, it looks like it will never be. But you, it looks like you'll never be old. But keep watching. Some of the stars we started with when we started the church here, they are now put on weight. When you see them, they have become obontias. Shall I have pleasure? So these are two things that young people don't do. They don't laugh when you say, let's go for a mission to Tatale. They don't laugh at the idea. When they say, let's go and start a church here. Let's go and live in this country. A young person will say, why not? It's a good idea. After all, what is there here? What are we doing here? Why sit we here till we die? An old person will say, think of, be practical. What school will your children go to? Be practical. What water will you drink? Be practical. There's no bakery there. You'll never get bread to buy. All these towns, a lot of places, they don't bake bread there. Yes, there's nothing like bread. Yes, there's nothing like bread. A school, you see the school, you say, this is a school. There's no, roofless structures, no lights, no window. It's just bizarre. You can't even believe it. Shall I have pleasure? No. Verse 13. And the Lord said to Abraham, why is Sarah laughing? Why? Those of you who have made yourself prematurely old, God is angry with you for your mockery at his word and his suggestions, which include being happy. You know, sometimes when we are sitting down doing marriage counseling, it's like you have to convince people to be happy. Happiness is almost like riches. It's difficult to find it. You tell people, be happy. So, I want. Do this and do this and do this. Listen, if he wants, if he will do it. Tell him. Tell her. This is how they talk. This is how people talk and the attitude. Tell her. Tell him. They laugh. One day, one of our pastors was doing marriage counseling. He stops. I won't counsel these people again. Why did Sarah laugh? Saying that I will bear a child, which I'm old. Verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Those of you who laugh at the commandment of God, faith will make you a young person. Watch these old people. Faith makes you young. You think you are mature. You don't have faith. Actually, what it is, you don't have faith. Sarah doubted. I say at the time upon that I will return to you according to the time of life. 9 months. Verse 15. And Sarah denied. You see? Somebody is telling me that it's the progesterone and estrogen that is causing. Instead of accepting blame. Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. Now you see, you can have marital argument forever because you don't want to accept realities. Yeah, she said, I didn't laugh, for she was afraid. But he said, you laughed. Thank God for people who will say, I'm pointing out to you that you laugh. Verse 16. And the man rose up. Any meeting that goes beyond 5 minutes, not necessary. They got up and they left Abraham to do what he has to do and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Yes. Now, he goes on to another story. And a year later, Abraham had a child. What do you think he did? What do you think old man did? What did old man do to have a child? Because it's only Virgin Mary who was born of a... Jesus was born of a virgin. Abraham was older than Sarah. First of all, he was able to make her obey him. And all good Christian wives, your husband must be able to make you obey. Learn to obey. When you obey him, he will obey you. You see, when you obey him 3 times and 4 times, he becomes very open to you. And you notice that he rather starts to obey you. That's the mystery of obedience. It's like humility. When you are humble and you go down, you rather find that you rather are high up because you've gone down. The going down rather makes you go up. Me going down into the ministry has rather made me go up. Obeying will make him obey. You will be more obedient to the person who you sense obeys you. That's the truth. But every time you say no, then you see that they insist. Yes, you laughed. It provokes a reaction of insistence. So the mystery of obedience and submission is the mystery of dwelling peacefully and even having your own power. Because it is known that you obey, the person is more likely to obey you in what you say. Oh yes. If Bishop Saki was to tell me something seriously, Charlie, this and that, I'm likely to listen to what he will say. Because he has never argued with me about anything. Yeah. I'm more likely to, of all my pastors or people that are, if he says something, I mean, I will take it 100 times more seriously. There are even people that have become bishops and so on. If he says it's good, I say, if he says it, it's good. If he says this person is good, it's good. I have bishops that he's the one saying, no, this person is good. I say, if you say so. The person who is more submitted to is the person you even obey and listen to more. But you see, it's like all the things in the Bible, it's a mystery. It's a mystery. Yeah. Are you still here? You are very quiet. Huh. Mm-hmm. Now, and Genesis 21, verse 2. Now Sarah conceived. That means she caught Abraham's sperms. Now you see, the Bible has one sentence, but it means a lot. Like you shall be born again, it means a lot. Amen. Wow. Faith made Abraham lose almost 70 years and become a young person. Yes. Your faith will make you a young. That's why the church is looking young. With young people. And even not only this church. Most of our churches are young people. You know, when we were coming from Bandai, we passed a road. We crossed the lake. And came to a town called Dambai. And then we were coming down Rara, Pandu, Peki, different towns in the Volta region. Each town we came, there was a large group of young people that came out to clap, and our church people, each town, they were clapping and they were there waiting for us. I don't know who was giving them, shouting and waving and happy Just as we pass and we just wave at them. Yes. Young people. Yes. Arara. Young people. All over. Elderly people are not so keen. But they are not first love churches anyway. It's other churches, but young people. Young people are nice. So faith makes you a young person. I'm telling you. It makes you a nice person. It takes away years from your life. It makes you beautiful. It makes you nice. Faith. It did that to Abraham. I don't know which style Abraham and Sarah were doing. I tell you, I don't know which method Sarah was using to wake up the dead. When Abraham received the first kiss, do you know what Abraham said? Shall I tell you what Abraham said? As soon as Sarah kissed him, he said, "It's been a long time since I had this. It's been a long time." Because, I mean, Sarah was not into such things. When he comes home, just food and then that's it. He said, "It's a long time since I had this." And you see, I don't want to go into more detail, but if I get a smaller group, I'll tell you what happened in there. It made Sarah and Abraham like young people. Yeah. So faith, and you'll notice when you become young, all the possibilities increase. I can do this. I can go here. I can do this. I can come. I can... Peter Laba, for instance, you may not know, but we are going to continue showing Peter Laba every week for the season. Until the season is over, it's going to last about 6 weeks. Every weekend, we are here. Yes, it's showing night after night after night after night. Yes. You see, elderly people may say, "Oh..." But young people say, "Yeah, I mean, why don't we show it every week? It's a very nice play. It's a very nice thing. We have been watching it. We like it. More people should come and watch and be blessed." Bring your friends every Saturday for the season. Till the when the next one is released, then it will be another season. Maybe later in the year or next year. But this is a season. Peter Laba. Beautiful. Since I came to the first draft, every idea, I've never had a meeting where I say, "Oh, okay, let's do this." Where they say, "Oh, so we can do it." We can immediately tell me how it can be done. But Sarah said, "How? Number one, number two, number three." She said, "I've forgotten all these things." One day my wife was telling me about an elderly widow whom somebody came to propose to. And the comment that she... The answer that she gave the man for even thinking that he could come and marry her. She said nonsense. And then she spoke it in her language. "Do you think that this and that and that? And I can do this and that at my age." Sure. Faith will make you young. Faith will make you say, "You know, God, I can do this thing." Faith will make you go where God says you should go. You travel where He says you should travel. You survive what He says you should survive. You do what He says. You become so young. Everything about you will be young. Yes. And that is why you see God use older people traveling. Ranald Bokke has always had a young person's disposal, we can do it. Even when he was so ill, he said he wants to have a crusade. And they carried him there. He couldn't even come every day. And he would come and just from the chair to the pulpit and stand there and preach, Jesus is alive. Even now in his room, he said, his room, he's always broadcasting on Facebook. He's sitting in his house and broadcast. He said, I will not just die like that. Faith makes you young. And faith makes you rise up and do what young people do. You know, you must have faith. And you'll see the kind of life that will come into your life. Yeah. Even pleasure. When the suggestion of pleasure is brought to you, because you are young, so yeah. I can work. I've not thought of it before, but it can work. When I say bouncing castle, say, bouncing castle. Bouncing. Are you glad you came to church? Number two, faith will flatten every mountain in your life. Kama shatala bandana. Faith will flatten every mountain in your life. There's no mountain too high. God cannot move that mountain. Is there a song like that?
Yes.
Jesus answering said to them, Mark 11:22, have faith in God. For I say to you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Have faith in God. Why? Because in this life, you are going to meet mountains. How many have already met some mountain too high to climb? What is a mountain? A mountain is something difficult. Something is in the way. I'd have gone straight and I'd have gone fast. But now I've met this mountain and it's preventing me from becoming what I want to become. But I have some good news for you. The faith, and whatever the faith is, which it is something that is invisible, that comes to you by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. It will make you to flatten all mountains that are standing in your way. Your faith is your weapon. The faith that comes to you by hearing and hear. So the messages you listen to, I hope you are hearing me. The messages you listen to, the preaching you expose yourself, continue and check it and listen to it and believe and practice them. It will cause you to flat mount. You'll be like somebody to ask you, have you seen a mountain before? And you even laugh. You know the mountains have crossed. Some of you, there's a mountain before you. You were going straight like this to get married, and suddenly a mountain appeared there. How are you going to go through this mountain? In Switzerland, they've made tunnels through the mountains. The drill to go through the mountain is as big as this roof, like this, round. It's a drill. They put it at the base of the mountain and then they start to grind and it goes round and then the dust comes out and they drill a hole through the whole mountain. Yeah, such a small thing. You need to have money and something to overcome mountains. You see me standing here? This Ghana is one of the poorest countries in the world. In fact, when we went in the north, it's the poorest place I've ever seen. In all African countries I've ever been to, I've never seen any country as destitute and neglected as where I just came from. Yes. Never. And I've been to every country in West Africa. I never saw anything like what I saw there. So although you may say Ghana is developed, in another sense, it is really behind. Yeah, I was actually shocked. You know, a distance of 60 kilometers, we set out at 12:30 in the middle of the night, 12:30 a.m. We arrived about 60 kilometers, we arrived at 9 a.m. You can't even move more than 2 kilometers per hour. Boom, ba, ooh, 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 ooh. You can't move. We arrived in the morning. Yes, a short distance, not a foreign country, Ghana. So there are mountains here. There are big financial mountains. Believe me. But through faith, through preaching, I don't preach about, I believe in preaching about money. I preach about money sometimes. But faith in God, so winning. Believing in God. You see, we have been able to build a church here, even as students. Yes. We have been able to build. We have 6,000 chairs here, and we are going to have 10,000. Yeah. By faith. Practically. Faith will flatten every mountain. Now, if you do not have mountains, then you are new in the world. Mountains are coming. Or you are heading towards a mountain. That's life. But faith will flatten every mountain that you encounter in your life. And so, how to have faith? You must be a word man, I tell you. As you walk out of here, press play. Let it start going. Sometimes you have to stop your car or stop and check the scripture from your phone. Your phone must have your Bible and must have your dictionary and must have your messages and your notes. Or stop and check it because it's so critical. I always check. I always stop to check critical things. I'm always checking things. I'm always checking. What did I read? Did I hear this right? Wow. 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 And I'm always sharing scriptures. La mosa talima. Mountains are coming, but you are going to flatten every mountain. There's no mountain that will be too high for you in this life. In the name of Jesus. Number three. Every river. Karomo Shatala. Every river which has planned to drown you, you shall cross it by faith. Faith will make you to cross every river, every obstacle. Hebrews 11 verse 29. Hebrews 11 verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as if by dry land, and which the Egyptians are saying to do, change the version, try to do, were drowned. Attempted without the same faith. You don't believe in our God. You want to do what we believe in. You can't do it. That's why I'm telling you that your faith will make you cross. What would have drowned you? You will cross it with ease. I say you cross it with ease. Others will attempt the same thing and they will not succeed. Why? The difference is the belief. You see, we believe in Jehovah. They believe in some stones and some wood. They worship the Nile River. And we worship God. They don't have the same faith that we have. So the one who listens to more messages and soaks in more preaching will be able to cross Red Seas that you will not be able to cross because you are not into messages. You are not into the Makane. You are not into the Makane. You are not into the Makane. You are not into messages. Me, you know how long I've been listening to Hagin's messages? There is no time I'm not soaking. Soaking. As I've left my house, I've pressed pause on something. When I come back, I want to press there because I like what I was hearing. And it was going. Do you understand when I said the thing was going? Sometimes not going, but sometimes it's going. It's starting to work. I press pause. It's on. In my room there, it's on. And it's on pause. I don't want to make a mistake of. Because there are so many, I've selected it. I've suspended it in mid-air. It's on. The thing is on in my room. That is why you'll be crossing all the sea that is supposed to drown you. You see that you go through. Shala, so. What has drowned others? What finished others? Will not finish you. People have come from America. Foreigners have come to our church thinking that we are in need. And they realize that they are in need more than we are in need. We are swimming across the Red Sea. We are walking through. Because you see, the financial chaos in the country should have drowned the church. It's true. The financial troubles here should have drowned us all. Yes. Long time. Not, I don't mean recent financial trouble. These are new ones. They have been there, even they've been brewing. Yes. Every time you see the currency going up, it shows you that something is in the system. And it goes up all the time. The sea. You know, when we were coming, I'm sure some of you saw a video, we were in some tracks. You see that water the tracks were passing through. We crossed that water in the night, 10 p.m. That water, that was the first part of the convoy. They were there five. We went 5 hours later in the middle of the night. In the darkness. The dark and black. Forest on our right, forest on our left, and here was water. I got out with my torch and I went to stand by the thing. I said, we can go. I stood there, all the convoy with flashing lights. No human being, no animals. I'm sure there were animals in the forest, but and in the water. And I said, we can go. Let us go. By faith, we crossed that water. Huh? You heard my voice?
Yeah, when you spoke on the radio, you said, everybody go, go, go with speed, go with speed, go with speed. And we all drove through, even though the car will go under, feel like you can drown. But you just passed because you could hear daddy's voice saying, go, 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 go.
Yeah, on the radio, I was saying, go, 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 don't stop, go, 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 you can make it to the water. Yes. By faith, to cross the water. Hearing, and then they were believing, and they were moving, and they were crossing. Whatever wants to drown you, whatever wants to finish you, today by faith, you will never be finished in Jesus' name. Do you know that when our church was attacked some years ago, some pastors came there, and he confessed to me later. He said, when I came and I saw they had bombed us, that attacked us, the government was against us, everything. He said, Doug is finished. But I said, you are not finished until God says you are finished. After that, we built the Kodesh. So you can't be finished unless God says you are finished. Whatever has planned to finish you off, in Jesus' name, I declare you are not finished at all. At all, at all, at all, at all, at all, at all. Now that you are coming to start something. It's now that you are coming to start something. It's now that you are coming to start. There was a man when we all didn't know Bonke. He used to work for Bonke. When Bonke preaches, he prays for the sick. So Bonke would preach, and Bonke didn't know how to pray for the sick. So this man would pray for the sick. And one day, I think there was some problem. He said, I'm leaving. And when he was leaving, he told the people, he said, Bonke is finished. Oh, finished. Finished. It's now, you see, we had not even heard of Bonke. It was now that Bonke is going to start his ministry. Some of you broke a relationship. And when the boy walked away, It felt like you are finished. Like this is it. But I came to tell you that you are not finished at all in this life. Yes. You are just about to become beautiful. I said you are just about to become nice. By faith, you will cross every drowning river in the name of Jesus. Sit down. Number one, faith will do what for you? Faith will make you young. Ah, is that a good one? Number two, faith will do what for you? Faith will do what? Flatten every mountain in your life. Number three, faith will make you cross every river in your life. Rivers you must cross, but faith will make you cross it. Yes. Number four. Faith will make you and help you. Faith will make you overcome every sin that is lacking in your life. The more you listen to messages, the more sins will be reduced. Not that you hear a message that says stop it, but something will be coming to you. Something will be coming to you. And that thing that will be coming to you will... There's a power in it. Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up. Give me King James. King James, please. When he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Are you there? Faith. I'm talking about faith. What faith will do for you. It's your secret weapon. Your messages that you are listening to. Don't listen to the same message as your husband or your wife. You are your own, what do you call it? Just be a soaker. Change your life by your faith. I'm telling you. Faith makes you a great person. People can't do what you will do when you have faith. I'm telling you. They can't do what you do when you have faith. They will try to do the same thing that they can't match you up in life. They can't match you. They can't match you. Egyptians tried to match the Israelites and they couldn't match them. They all drowned. I'm telling you. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, like when he grew up, he said, no, I'm not Pharaoh's daughter. Hey, I'm not Pharaoh's, you're not Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So you see, sin in your life, sin is pleasurable. Sin is nice to enjoy. How many have had fun sinning before? You see, all these people at the back, they don't tell the truth. These people here. Excuse me to go to this side here. Third lovers. Are you first or second or third lovers? Sin is pleasurable. How many have enjoyed sin before? Since you have been raised your hand. What about these people here? Have you enjoyed sin before? Like you did something, it was a bad thing and it was nice. You were having fun. Or as somebody said, you were having fun. Fen. You didn't say the fans, you said fen. Have fen. To enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Faith. Faith. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused. He said no. So the ability to refuse, it comes by faith. You see, that's why this young boy, where is he from? Zimbabwe? Where is he from? Zimbabwe? What is your name? WhatsApp? Watson? Watson? You used to smoke and come to church?
Yes, please.
And you used to smoke and lead prayer?
Yes, please.
Yes. So he was smoking. Father, let's all pray for the spirit of it. Father, we ask you to give us the Spirit, Holy Spirit today. He said, wahoo. I said, he said, wahoo.
But as he was listening, you know, just being in church and even sharing the scriptures. And there's another guy who was editing the tapes. Where is that guy to? Sit down. Come. Yeah, your work was to edit the messages. So you were forced to do what?
I was supposed to listen to it over and over again.
So that you could edit it.
Edit, yes, correct the mistakes.
And what happened to you?
And one day as I was listening, somebody exposed me to the Makane.
And then you were listening to it.
Yeah, but I kept listening over and over again.
Yeah. Over and over and over. Same thing. So sometimes you should choose such jobs, a job that you have to be listening to messages and things like that. It's changing you. And this one was into what was this guy doing? I don't know. He said he can't say the things in the microphone. Many things. You can't say all, isn't it?
Yes, Bishop.
It will be quite serious to say.
Quite serious, yes.
And you will just have this UPS just here.
Yes, UPS.
University. Yes. And you were some way, pa.
Pa, Bishop.
Huh? At this other. Huh? You've been to prison many times?
Yes, several times. I can't count them, Bishop.
Now you see, all these things. You see, when you go to prison, you are. They have these rehabilitation things that they do for you. And people don't change; they are worse. All these drugs, they have things. Okay, gradually they have electronic cigarettes to smoke, different things to dry you out of. There are so many human attempts to take people out of the difficulties. But by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused. He said, no, he had faith. The faith enabled him to say, no. No. Amen? All right? Beautiful. So some of you girls, I mean, you've been so much in love with this boy. He's so nice. He's so, like, I don't know what I can do without him. I need him. By faith, you can say no. No. The more you listen to me, I'm telling you something. Forget about the definition of faith. Whatever it is, it is. It's a wild thing. If you have it, you become wild. Yeah. Don't worry about what is it faith. What is faith? Is this? Me too, I don't know what it is. What I know is that it is a wild thing that makes you do a lot of wild things. And it comes by hearing. Yes. And hearing by the word of God. Yeah. You just lift your hand and say, no. No, no more. No more. And we have heard in this church testimony after testimony. Testimony after testimony. The change. 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 Look at me. I was not a pastor. I was not a preacher. I'm the most ordinary type of person. I mean, I've not seen Jesus before. Angels, all these things. I'm just reading about them. And I believe. See, blessed are those that have not seen, but they believe. It makes you even wilder. I've so much prayed for Jesus to appear to me. Recently, I was just thanking him. I knew he was in the room. I knew he was there. I told him, thank you for not appearing. I said, thank you. I said, thank you for not appearing. What else should I say? He said, thank you. Yes. Because he's making me walk by faith. Yes. Because as soon as he appears, it's like, although there will be faith, it will be different. Yeah. I said, thank you for not appearing. I knew he was right there. Because I could sense his presence. Yeah. Yeah. Faith is a wild thing. Whatever sin has fastened itself to your buttocks, in the name of Jesus, it is dropping today forever. I can't hear your loudest amen. Whatever character defect is in you, today it is dropping off by faith in the name of Jesus. I say, I can't hear your loudest amen. Faith. Number five. Faith will make you endure affliction. Yes. You know, Christians are not only called to enjoy, we are also called to suffer some things. We have to suffer certain things. Suffering is part of our syllabus of the things God is taking us through. Suffering. And he says, by faith, Hebrews 11 verse 24, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Notice, choosing rather to suffer. Yes, choosing. I choose to suffer. That is why our fathers rarely divorced. They had more faith. They said, no, whatever it is, I will be in it. I choose to suffer and be in it. I don't escape. I don't come out. And the more faith you have, the beastly things that you are forced to experience, your faith will say, you know what? I am going through this because this is what God has chosen for me. Yes. You feel like fornicating? No. You feel like masturbating? No. You feel like homosexuality? No. You feel like drinking? No. You feel like smoking? No. And you suffer, and in the end, there's no more suffering. Initially, there's a lot of suffering, but after a while, no more suffering. So don't think that to be a Christian is, oh, victory every day. No, suffering is part of the syllabus. You know, there's always a subject you don't like when you go to school. How many have experienced that? Like there's, you like all the subjects. This one should go out of the syllabus. Which subject didn't you like in medical school?
I didn't like biochemistry at all.
Which one didn't you like?
Neuroanatomy.
Which one didn't you like?
Pediatrics.
Pediatrics you didn't like. But you like biochemistry. Huh?
I did med lab, so.
Ah, you did? Okay. Any more doctor? Doctor, yeah? Which one didn't you like? Doctors here. Yeah. Which one didn't you like?
I didn't understand biochemistry.
Biochemistry. Doctor No is here. Doctor No, which one didn't you like?
Well, I didn't like internal medicine and biochemistry.
Biochemistry.
They were not exciting.
Yeah. Another doctor here. Which one didn't you like? Which one didn't you like here?
I didn't like biochemistry at all.
I didn't like biochemistry. Which one did you like?
I did not understand biochemistry. I was lost.
I didn't like psychiatry.
Psychiatry, madness. Okay.
Organic chemistry.
Which one did you like?
Chemical pathology.
Wow. Which one did you like?
Pediatrics.
You like pediatrics, but you like biochemistry.
Organic chemistry.
Chemistry, yeah. Me too, I didn't like biochemistry.
Neurophysiology.
Wow. Iris, you didn't like what? Immunology. Wow. Biochemistry is winning. Yeah. Now, hello. Now, when you come to church and to God's house, we like many messages, many topics: faith, love, hope, prosperity, blessings, overcoming, victory, patience, whatever. There is also affliction, endurance, suffering. It's one of the topics. Losing, suffering, sacrificing, dying. It's part of the syllabus. You get it? But today, God is showing you a power that is going to enable you to choose to suffer. Yes. When I first became a pastor, people used to look at me, "Oh, we feel sorry for you." I've never felt sorry for myself in the ministry. When I had nowhere to stay, and I was staying in one room for 3 years, I never felt sorry. Always happy that I'm serving the Lord. They don't understand it. My faith makes me so joyous. When I was in Tatale, you know, I was saying, I'm so happy to be here. I know that when I speak, the people don't believe it. We are so happy to be here in your wonderful city. They don't even believe it. I know they don't believe it. Because they don't think it's as a wonderful. I'm happy to be there. Faith, that's why I see souls. I see people. I say, this is a chance. My faith makes me, I'm not suffering. If faith makes you go through things as if it's nothing. When Daniel was in the lion's den waiting for the first bite, he was just waiting to see where would they bite me first. Have you seen lions which have caught a buffalo which is stuck in the mud? They eat it from the back. It's alive. They just bite and eat it. It is alive and it's eaten alive. So Daniel was not sure whether, which, so if they start biting from the legs, he's going to be alive for quite some time. Yes. It may be better to just, please bite off my head. But they'll just be eating anyway because you are meat. But he went in. He chose. They said, bow to your God. Said, no, my God is my God. My God is my God. I will not say no, and I'll pray to my God. Then go and be eaten. Let's go and be eaten. Faith will make you choose all the. You will look at the boy. Next time he comes to knock at your door and you open, you say, "Mr. Man, let it be. Can I, with all respect, don't come here again, please." That was the nicest way for me to say, "Don't come here again." You send him a text, say, "Baba," and you change the answer. The number to don't answer one. If there are three, don't answer two. Three, don't answer four, don't answer five, don't answer six, don't answer seven. But it's only faith that can make you turn Jimmy Jones's name from Jimmy Jones to don't answer four. Somebody who has been your lover and his words calm you down and make you have a feeling that nobody has given you that feeling before. And you change his name to don't answer four. Or don't answer one. Faith. But I see you becoming a woman and a man of great faith. In the name of Jesus. Let me hear your loudest amen. You see, when you don't say amen, the message has not entered you. You should be saying amen. You should be standing up and shouting amen. Sit down. Number six. Faith will enable you to abandon rich and important cities for God. Yeah. Hebrews 11:27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, Moses. He said, Baba Egypt. Baba Egypt. Bye-bye, London. Bye-bye, New York. Bye-bye, Massachusetts. Bye-bye, Berlin. By faith. Bye-bye. If my children in Europe and America had more faith, they would be saying goodbye to some of those cities and say, bye-bye. By faith, he forsook Egypt. He said, no more Egypt. I know it's a big place. I'm going to the wilderness. I know it's the main place. I know it's the main place. I know it's the richest place. By faith, I abandon it. Yeah. When you have faith, you don't choose as people choose. You see, it's faith that made us. At first, all our branches were London and America. You see, then God rebuked me and told me I should send people. I should send people to where there are souls, not to where there's money. And I was only planting churches where people go naturally. Well, what is taking them there? Economic migration. There's no economic migration from Ghana to Zambia, Ghana to Zimbabwe, Ghana to Nigeria, Ghana to Togo, Ghana to Abidjan. Why did I send Bishop Poko to Abidjan? It's because of money. Come on, let's be serious. Ghana to Togo, Ghana to Benin. What is in Cotonou that is not in Accra? Do you know Parakou, the other big city of Benin? I'm sending somebody to Parakou now. I'm sending somebody to a second city in one of my bishops, I'm sending to the second city in Burkina Faso. It's called Bobo de Lasso. Yes. Faith. It's my beliefs. My beliefs. I sent my bishop in Cape Coast, Bishop Jake. I sent him to go to the second city of Cote d'Ivoire, Bouaké. I've asked him to leave. He's left. His family. Faith. By faith, he forsook. Say, what is Egypt? Come on. God is greater. By faith, he forsook Egypt and he went. So when you have faith, you can go where God said. You will not be saying, I need to be here where there is money. I need to be here where there is money. Faith makes you go where God wants you to be. Faith. By faith, he forsook Egypt. He said, Egypt, no, I don't care. What is in Egypt? I'm going where? Faith, 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 faith. You don't listen to enough message. That's why some people listen. Some people listen. If you listen, you see that you have faith. I thank God for this brother who was listening to the Mark, and I said, I won't listen again. He said, if I listen to you, I can't. If you listen, you will have faith. You see that you start moving. All these guys, they are from London, these people. Faith, you forsook which country?
London.
Yeah, London. Even when he speaks, he's London. It is not from Ghana. Put that scripture up by faith. He forsook Egypt, not fearing. You see, London. When I got married and it was like, oh, we go here, I said, we'll be here. What will happen to your children? They will be okay. When it's time for school, I said, find a school in around. My son was a founder of a school. The first student. Recently, they called him to come for anniversary. The first student in the school. Yes, it's okay. He's a doctor. Now, I didn't expect him to be a doctor. I didn't know what he would be. This one sitting here is a lawyer. Call to the bar. Why not? But what is it? By faith. When Joshua was coming, he had the jobs. Dubai, Abu Dhabi, here, they were calling him. Come, he had experience, this, that, so many things. Come. I didn't ask him to come. You marvel always at people when they are moving by faith. When they walk to the rest, you say, what are you doing? Parents who don't have faith will be marveling as their children are walking by faith. Faith makes you young. Faith makes you do things. Faith makes you abandon important riches and cities. I'm telling you, faith! Are you still here or you are leaving? So when I send you to a village, and I send you to a town, and you have faith, you will go with great joy. And people ask, what are you doing here? I say, I am doing my faith. My faith is working. Are you still around? How many points do you have? Oh, then you must have 7. Number 7. Faith will make you to climb every wall that is keeping you out. Hebrews 11 verse 30. I see some walls around your life. Somebody's trying to keep you away. Eh? You know, when you see a wall, they're trying to keep you out. But I feel the walls of Jericho fell down. Tonight and today, I feel as if it is tonight. Tonight, the walls of Jericho are falling down in your life. Kalamo salaba shibala. The walls that keep you away. Say, stay out. Somebody's trying to keep you from being a millionaire. Say, keep you, stay out. Somebody's trying to keep you from blood. Somebody's trying to keep you from getting married. Keeping you out. Stay away. Today, the faith you have will bring those walls down. And you'll find yourself walking into houses you never thought you would walk into. Somebody's walking into a house. Somebody's walking to a car. Somebody's walking to your ministry. Somebody's walking to the blessings that God has for you. Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I see your hands lifted up as you shout amen? So shall it be. So shall it be. So shall it be. Number one is what? Faith make you young. Give your neighbor some bumps like you are dancing, kung fu dancing. Say, we are young in the church. Please. If it's our old, say, old man, don't come here again. We are young here. Eh? Give your neighbor a bum bum, Charlie. A girl or a boy, don't be afraid. Just give it a big bum. Tell your neighbor, you see, that is why at first, like when we are saying the grace, we move. All of you stand up. Look at this people here. Ah. Charlie. Ah. When we are dancing, we say, give somebody a bonbon. You are sitting there. How do you do it? Tell your neighbor, let this be the last time. Number two is what? Faith. Flatten mountains. Number three, faith will make you cross rivers. Number four, faith will overcome every sin that is lacking in your life. Tell somebody, Charlie, it is going. You watch me. You see that. It's going. It's going. It's going. Number six, faith will make you endure afflictions. Number six. Faith will make you abandon rich, important cities for God. Yes, that's it. We forsook Egypt. I can't explain it any other way. There's no other Egypt than Egypt. And number seven, every wall. How many have realized there's some walls trying to keep you out of certain rooms, certain houses, certain places? Today the walls are coming down. In Jesus' name. Lift your hand and thank God right now for the spirit of faith in your life. Spirit of faith. Father, thank you. More faith is coming, Lord. More faith is coming into our lives. More faith. Thank you for your blessing, your word, your spirit of faith. In the name of Jesus, we give you thanks. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Oh, everyone, speak out. Speak in the spirit. Speak in the spirit. Krandalama shatala babandala babanda. Mala romana malande belelebe kumurunandala babandelelebe kebalaba. Malo shatala manambelelebe kebandari babanda. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We give you praise. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we lift our hands to you. We receive the spirit of faith. The spirit of doubt and fear is taken out of our lives now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for this blessing. Put your hand on your heart. Become a man of faith now by the Holy Spirit. Let rivers that intend to drown you be made powerless before you. Let mountains come down before you. Let walls that hold you out of America, hold you out of Europe, hold you out of Australia, hold you out of any country, let those walls come down now. Let every sin and difficulty in your life be overcome by your faith. In the name of Jesus, receive the heart to listen to messages. Receive the grace to listen to preaching. Receive the grace to expose yourself to God's word. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for your blessing for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As every head is bowed, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ. Pastor, pray with me. I don't know Jesus as my Savior, but today, I want to receive Christ as my Savior. If you are here like that, wherever you are sitting or standing, if you want to be born again and give your heart to God, to Jesus today, and become a true child of faith, lift your right hand up like this, and I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. I want to give my life to Jesus this afternoon, today. Then lift your hand up like this. God bless you. And I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray with you now after you've lifted your hand. If you've lifted your hand, come to me here in the front here. Come. Come from where you are standing. Your hands and let us pray. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I am sorry for all my sins. No, say this after me. Say, Jesus, please forgive me for all my sins. I am sorry for all my sins. Today, I am turning around and I'm coming to Jesus. Just as I am. Please wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me for all my sins. Today, I receive Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. Thank you, Father, for saving me today. Please write my name. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I belong to God and I belong to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Now look at me. Look at me. Look at me, all of you here. Today is your day of salvation. Amen. Amen. I need you to come here every single week. Sunday after Sunday, you must be here. Why? Because Jesus is changing your life forever. And that is how you are going to have faith. By hearing and hearing and coming to church regularly. Are you listening to me? Don't say, oh, I'm Roman, I'm this, I belong to this. Please, let's be serious. Today you have come forward. Let us continue in that. Don't start any religious games. Amen. Jesus is saving you here. And you are being saved and changed here. Is it clear? All right. I want to give you one of my books. This book is very important. It's called How to Be Born Again and Avoid Going to Hell. Do you want to avoid going to hell? Of course. If you have any sense, you want to avoid it. And today, God is blessing you to avoid going to hell. Amen? Amen. Will you say, can I hear your loudest amen? Amen? Now, if you have this book, as soon as we close service, come to this side here, Salvation Corner, where they are waving to us. And God is going to change your life. We are going to meet with you for 2 minutes. And how many of you have got your phones? Bring your phone out. Let me see your phone. You don't have a phone. You left your phone. Don't leave your phone behind, though. Okay, when you come to the meeting, come with your phone. We are going to show you something on your phone, and it will be a blessing to you for podcast. Okay, God bless you. Go back to your seat. You may be seated. It's time for communion.
Take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal, it is the meal of God. Sustain you, it will make you whole, it will give you life. When I see the blood, oh, oh, oh yeah, I will pass over you.
Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10. Are you there? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 10. Now, it says, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for what? Your food. Bread for 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 your food. Take this bread. Take this bread for your food. So actually you are about to have some food. Now, almost every cancer is linked now to what you eat. Most diseases come from the food. The reason why there was very little cancer before, they never used to treat the things, the chemicals. There was nothing like a tin with food. Can you imagine corned beef that, like meat, that was made 4 years ago? It is still food. Yes? Sardines that were caught in 2012. You are eating them in 2018. So what have they put in it that it doesn't get spoiled? So the scripture says, now the Lord gives you bread for your food. So the bread for your food is directly connected to your health. So as we are about to take this holy bread, it may be the best thing you are eating the whole week. Yes. It may be the best thing you are taking the whole week. Yeah. Bread for your food. Bread for your food. Bread for your food. Take this bread. So in other words, take this food. Yes, take this food, which is going to minister life to you. Stand to your feet. Father, we thank you for bread, for our food. Let miracles happen. Let this food enter into our veins, our blood, our stomach, our pancreas, our liver, our kidneys, and every tissue of our body. Let it bring healing. Let it bring healing. Let it bring healing and power into the life of everyone here by your mighty power. We thank you for bread for our food today. The body of Jesus Christ. And now, the wine. The Good Samaritan, when he came, he poured in the oil and the wine. Today, whatever is hurting, whatever is painful, whatever is a sore in your life, we declare this to be the blood of Jesus, the special wine of the Lord. It pours into every pain, every sorrow, and every hurt. The wine of God, the blood of Jesus Christ. Blood of Jesus. Lift your hands and let me bless you. The Bible says, "Thus shalt thou bless the children of Israel. The Lord make his face to shine on you. The Lord give you good opportunities. The Lord open good chances and good doors for you. The Lord send you to places you have never imagined you could go to. The Lord put you on aeroplanes you never thought you would fly on. The Lord improve your standard of living in the name of Jesus. The Lord transfer you from your rented house to your own house. The Lord cause you to go up on a higher ground in the name of Jesus. Whatever you lack, and whatever you are deficient in, may the Lord fill it up now in Jesus' name. The Bible says Naaman the Syrian was a great man, but he was a leper. Whatever hidden sickness and hidden problem is tormenting you, I declare, I curse the problem. I declare finishing. I hear the word finishing. That problem is finishing in the name of Jesus. Receive a higher grace from the Lord today. Receive angelic support for your life. Receive superior angels in your life. Go higher in Jesus' name by the blessing of the Lord upon your life. May you be as the Jews, increasing only, prospering only, going higher only. Now, receive superior intelligence. You invent things and have new ideas. You have ideas and wisdom that takes you forward. In the name of Jesus, whatever work you are doing and you do, the Lord increase you in that work and bless you in every work that you are doing in Jesus' name. Now I see something like feet, and I see something like a kind of like a rope. Somebody wants to tie your legs. Today in the name of Jesus, I come against that rope. And I say every restriction and every bondage that is attempting to fasten itself to your life, I cut it away now in the name of Jesus. Be blessed. Be free. I say be free. For Christ has set you free. You cannot be tied to any man or any woman or anything. You are free by the power of God and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lift your hand and thank God for his blessing over your life. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We thank you. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books and other resources by Dycuid Mills, please visit our website at www.dycuidmills.org. God richly bless you.